The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah, Holy Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله Viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to this series of programs, Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And in these series of programs, we learn some lessons from the past. We learn from yesterday, we learn from our pious predecessors of how they lived their lives. And I've said it before, I'm going to continue to say it, that when you hear these stories of our pious predecessors, the events that took place, then them events, they've been maintained, they've been stored, and they've passed down through generation to generation for a reason. Not just because it's a good story, but because there's a message there for us. There's a lesson there from us. Something that we can learn and implement in our lives and make a change. It is stated, viewers of Mother Channel, that the beloved and blessed Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has said that when Thursday arrives, Allah azza wa jal sends his angels who are papers made of silver and pens made of gold. They write the names of those who recite Salat on me in abundance on the day of Thursday and the night of Friday, i.e. the night between Thursday and Friday. Hopefully in these series of programs, and what you've been seeing on Madani Channel in recent days as well, is we're learning about that person. We're learning about his life. And it's very important, viewers of Madani Channel, that we become aware of our rich heritage, that we learn about our people of the past. Islam has such a rich heritage, but unfortunately today, the youth of today, when they look for role models, they don't find any Muslim role models, because they don't know about any Muslim role models. They don't know about our rich heritage. They don't know about these great personalities that came before us. They don't know about the sacrifices that they made. Just to give, again, a brief introduction, just in case you've not seen any of the other programs. Sayyidina Ghawth-e-Azam, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he was born on the 1st of Ramadan, 470 Al-Hijri. And he was born on a Friday in Jilan. His name is Abdul Qadir, and his kunya is Abu Muhammad Muhyiddin Mahbub-e-Subhani Ghawth-e-Azam, Ghawth-e-Sakalain are his titles. His father's name is Sayyidina Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost, and his mother's name is Ummul Khair Fatima. He is both Husseini and Hassani. That is just to give you an introduction to his life, that he was born in a very pious upbringing, a pious life. And we mentioned it in previous episodes, that both of his pious parents were very, very pious. And there were sayyids from both sides coming right all the way back to the grandsons of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is stated, viewers of the channel, that Sayyidina Alama Ibn Jawzi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, said that Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah, departed this world on the 11th of Rabi al-Akhir, 561 Al-Hijri, at the time of Maghrib Salat. And the time of his demise, he was 91 years of age. And his funeral salah was led by his beloved son, Sayyidina Saifuddin Abdul Wahhab Qadri. And it said that countless people attended the funeral salah. And the blessed shrine, viewers of Madani Channel, of Sayyidina Ghawth-e-Pak, rahmatullah ta'ala, is situated in Baghdad, the famous city of Iraq, where it said that a crowd of visitors are always seen both day and night visiting his great resting place. Allahu Akbar. And I pray that people all around the world, all the lovers of Ghawth-e-Pak, rahmatullah ta'ala, all those people around the world have the opportunity to go and visit the blessed city of Iraq, where his resting place is, and go and see that place there as well. But before we, you know, we hear a lot of people saying that they want to go to Baghdad, they want to go and see the resting place of Ghawth-e-Pak, they want to go there. But before we make these journeys to any of these resting places of our pious predecessors, then we need to know a little bit about them. We need to find out about their life, so that when you go there, you'll feel that connection, that this is that great person, this is that person that sacrificed so much, this is the person that did so much, and you'll feel that connection there. You'll feel that pride inside you, that warmth inside you, that happiness inside you, that I have a connection, that these are my Muslim ancestors, these are my, you know, the people that came before us. Yes, because we're all one ummah, we're all one big family. So these are our Muslim ancestors. This is our rich heritage that we have to look to. It is stated, viewers of the channel, that Sayyidina Abdullah Sulami Rahmatullah Ta'ala stated that Shaykh Muhyiddin Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Qutbi Rabbani Rahmatullah Ta'ala related one of his parables to me in this way. He said that when I was living in the city's locality, I spent some extreme hard days that I had nothing to eat, not any money to buy anything. Once in this state, a man immediately handed a small packet of paper over to me and left. He said, I reached a masjid after I bought halwa, a dessert, and paratha, a flatbread fried in a pan with the money I had found in that packet. But whilst I was sat there in the masjid, I was worried about whether I should eat it or not. In the meanwhile, I saw another piece of paper kept inside the wall of the masjid. And these words said, we have created the wish for food for those mu'mineen who become physically weak so that they can get strength from it from worship. He said, having read the piece of paper, I left the food over there, I offered 2 rakat, and I went out to the masjid. Allahu Akbar. From this view, Zaman Chan, we can see that Ghawth-e Paak Rahmatullah, they did not eat the food until he got utterly exhausted and he had no more strength to perform any acts of worship. Furthermore, if we ponder over our situation, today our doings are completely contrary to this. If we look at ourselves nowadays, that we want to eat more, we want to drink more, and we make all sorts of excuses for not performing, let alone our extra worship, our 5 daily prayers. I'm feeling a bit tired, feeling a bit weak today, feeling a bit cold today, I don't feel right today, a bit back hurting today, I've got a headache today, I've got this. We make all sorts of excuses when it comes to reading our namaz. We make all sorts of excuses. And again, if we look at ourselves, that, you know, if we look at the pious people of the past, that they would eat so that it would give them enough strength so that they could worship Allah Azza wa Jal. When we eat, what are our intentions? Are our intentions that whatever food we eat, may Allah Azza wa Jal give us strength with this? Whatever strength we have with this food, I intend to use this in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Do we make them intentions? Or do we think, you know what, I need to eat this because I need to be strong. Because if I get strong, then I can lift X amount of pounds, X amount of kilos in the gym. I can cycle 10 miles, 20 miles, I can do this. I can do extra overtime. Instead of working 8 hours, I can work 12 hours. But I need to eat this. I need to eat this. I need to do this. I need to drink this. I need to drink these special drinks. I need to eat this special food. And you're doing it all with the intention for worldly benefit. So you can push more pounds in the gym, so you can run more miles, you can ride more miles on the cycle, so that you can do more hours for overtime. But how many times do we say, look, if I eat this, I can do more ibadat. My intellect will increase, I will be able to worship Allah Azza wa Jal better. I'll be strong enough to stay up at night. My memory will improve and I can remember more ayats of the Quran easily. How many times do we eat with this intention? Again, very, very few times viewers on the channel. And this is, we look at the people of the past. When they ate food, when they took this nourishment, they took that nourishment when it was needed. Nowadays, do we eat when it's needed? Or are we just literally snacking? I remember watching one of the programs on Madri channel, one of the mubaliks, he said that a survey was done. And it said, approximately the average person touches food 21 times a day. And that means that when you're eating your breakfast, that is counted as once. When you're eating your lunch, that is counted as once. When you're eating your evening meal, that is counted as once. But throughout the rest of the day, you took crisps, you took nuts, you took fruit, you touch this, you touch that. 21 times a day, we're eating something. And he said that that was the average. So obviously there are people, a lot of people that are a lot less, but there are also people more than that. That constant all day they're eating, non-stop eating. And there's people that have said to me that when I'm in the office, he says, I have drawers of biscuits and every day I go through, you know, whole packets of biscuits every single day. But then you ask him, do you need that? And you know, when you fast during the month of Ramadan, you come to know how much you need. How much do we actually need to strengthen our body? And you know, when you open the fast, you know, maybe during the day because of that hunger, the stomach's getting the better of you, the mind's getting the better of you, and you think, you know, I can eat this, and I can fill up a whole plate of food. But when it comes to the time of iftar, you can eat 2 or 3 khajur, maybe 1 banana, a little bit, and you think, you know what, I'm okay now. But for 5 minutes ago, you were feeling really weak, you're feeling really thirsty, but now, after eating just 2 or 3 khajur, maybe a little bit of fruit, you've got enough strength now to stand up, go to the masjid, and read your Salat al-Maghrib. And this is a fact, this happens. So that routine is there, that is a possibility, but what we do is we want to eat more and more and more because our greed never finishes. And yes, it is greed. Greed is something, the Uzzaman Shah, that you're eating more than you need. You know, your eyes, you know, they say that the person is greedy, his eyes are bigger than his stomach. He can only eat that much, but his eyes want that much. They can see the whole table with all the food, they want to eat all this. But the actual fact is he only needs this much. When it comes to greed, when you're talking about wealth, he only needs that much, but he wants this much. Whatever it is, he only needs this much, but he wants so much more. And that is greed, viewers of the channel. Sayyidina Yahya Muaz Razi, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, stated that one who is in the habit of filling his stomach, his body becomes fat with flesh. And the one who becomes fat with flesh becomes a victim of desires. And the one who becomes a victim of desires, his sins increase. And the one whose sins increase, his heart becomes hard, and he falls victim to the calamities and attractions of this world. Allahu Akbar. If only, viewers of my channel, we could have the mindset where, I'm not saying don't eat. What I am saying is eat what we need. Don't be greedy for our food. And just before this program, we were talking about how our routine should be. And unfortunately, our routines are all out. You know, we eat big meals in the evening before we go to sleep. Whereas in the morning, we might even leave home without breakfast. And you know that people of the past, that they said that you need a good breakfast. But the evening meal should be a light meal. But unfortunately, we have the opposite. And then we wonder why we are getting unfit. Then we wonder why we are having heart problems. Then we wonder why we are having sugar problems, diabetes, cholesterol, heart problems. Because our whole eating pattern is out. Not only is our eating pattern out as well, but we're eating more than the body needs. And because of that, what happens is the body slows down. We start putting on more weight and we have other problems as well. So we need to consider it from a health point of view. The pious people of the past, they give us this message that if you want to have a good health, if you want to protect your health, then eat less. The king of Baghdad, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah, stated that I would intend to pick up the fallen bits of food or leaves and grass to eat, but I would quit making self-sacrifice for my Islamic brothers who would also be in a search of those things, and I would stay hungry. When I became extremely weak and was close to death, I found something lying on the floor near the flower market and I picked it up. I sat in a corner to eat it. Suddenly I saw a non-young Arab person who had fresh flatbread and roasted meat, he said. He said, I was so hungry that I didn't eat what other people were picking up, but I was so hungry that day I picked up something. And I saw a young person there, and he had flatbread and he had roasted meat there. And as I saw it, then my desire for eating that food intensified. When he would take a morsel in his hand to eat, I would feel that hunger inside me. And he said it was an extent that when he would put it in his mouth, I would spontaneously open my mouth. You know, like when you're taking food close to a child and before the food's even got there, the child's opened the mouth. And he said, I spontaneously would open my mouth so that he may put the porcelain in my mouth. He said, however, I rebuked my nafs and said to him, don't be impatient. Allah Azza wa Jal is with me. I would rather die than ask anything from any young man for anything to eat. He said, all of a sudden, he said, after I rebuked myself, after I told myself off and said, don't ask anything, be happy, be patient with what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you. Be happy with what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you. He said, after I rebuked myself and told myself off, that young man turned to me and he said, brother, please come and join me in this meal. He said, I refused. Ghothi Pak Rahmatullah Ta'ala said, I refused, but he insisted. My nafs also insisted to eat, but I kept advising myself to have patience. He said, however, I ate a little due to the insistence of the young man. The young man then said to me, where are you from? I said to him that I am from Jilan. He replied to me that he was also from Jilan. Allahu Akbar. And he asked me if he knew Sheikh Abdul Qadir, the grandson of Sayyidina Abdullah Soma'i, who was the famous ascetic wali of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he said, I replied that I am the same person he was asking about. Listening to it, that person, he became a little anxious. And he said, when I was leaving for Baghdad, your mother gave me 8 gold coins to deliver them to you. Having reached Baghdad, I kept looking for you, but no one knew of your whereabouts until all of my money was spent. He said, I've been hungry for 3 days. When I became helpless due to my extreme hunger, I bought some flatbread and this roasted meat with some of your money. He then said, Ya Sayyidi, please eat this food without hesitation, because you own this food. Previously, you were my guest. Now I am your guest. Thereafter, he gave the remaining money and said, I seek your forgiveness. I bought this food in the state of helplessness due to the extreme hunger. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah said, I became very happy when I heard this. I then gave him the leftover food and some extra money, and he accepted it and left. Allahu Akbar. We even see in that time that Hosei Pak, from that we learned that the patience that he had, the sabr that he had in times of difficulty. But we also see from there that Hosei Pak, that food that he had, yeah, when he was given that money, when he was given that food, what did he do? He didn't think, all right, I've got these 8 gold coins, I'll keep that food, I'll eat to my fill, I'm sorted now. No, he gave him back some food. He gave him back some money as well. And this is a great attribute of our pious priest, that they would share whatever they had with people as well. And Hosei Pak was no exception. And we see from this particular example that the money that he was given to him, he shared it with him. The food that was given to him, he shared it with him and gave him the leftovers as well. And there's a lesson there to learn from it as well, viewers of Masjid. We're going to take a small break now, and inshallah, when we come back, we're going to continue talking on this subject. Let's go to the small break. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Blessings of Hosei Azam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sayyidina Bishr rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated, once I was traveling with a business caravan along with 14 sugar-loaded camels. We all camped in a terrifying jungle during the night. In the first part of the night, 4 of my loaded camels got lost. They could not be found despite of my tireless efforts. The caravan left without me. My camelier also remained behind with me. The following morning, I recalled that my murshid, Ghosei Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, had once said to me, whenever you are afflicted with an adversity or worry, call on me. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, you will be relieved from that adversity. Therefore, I cried for help, saying, O Shaykh Abdul Qadir, I have lost my camels. Right away, I saw a saint dressed in white clothes standing upon a small hill towards the east. The saint gestured. I started approaching the saint. As soon as I approached him, along with my camelier, he disappeared. We began to look around in a surprised and confused state. All of a sudden, we saw our 4 camels sitting at the bottom of the hill. We caught them and joined with the caravan. When Sayyidina Shaykh Abu al-Hasan Ali Khabbaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was told about the incident of the lost camels, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said that he was told by Shaykh Abu al-Qasim rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi that he heard Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi saying, one who calls on me in hardship, he will be relieved from his suffering. One who asks Allah Azza wa Jal anything with reference of my name, his need will be fulfilled. Now let's listen to the method of Salatul Ghosiyah. The person who offers 2 rakat nafil salah and in each rakat recites Surah Ikhlas 11 times after Surah Fatiha, and then after paying salam, he sends salat and salam upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and then walks 11 steps towards the blessed city of Baghdad and calls out my name and asks for the fulfillment of a need, inshallah azza wa jal, his need will be fulfilled. Dear viewers of Madani channel, after listening to the previous incident, someone might think that we must only ask help from Allah azza wa jal and none other than him, because when Allah Azza wa Jal has the ultimate power to help, why should we turn towards anyone else? This is a very dangerous trick of shaitan, with which he has led many people astray. In fact, Allah Azza wa Jal has not forbidden us as regard to asking help from others. Look in the Holy Quran, where Allah Azza wa Jal has permitted us in various blessed verses to ask others for help. In fact, despite being omnipotent, Allah Azza wa Jal has himself provided motivation to his bondsmen for helping the true religion. It is stated in the Holy Quran, translation of Quran, Kanzul Iman. If you help the religion of Allah, Allah will help you. Sayyidina Isa ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam asked his followers for help. It is stated in the Holy Quran, translation of Quran, Kanzul Iman. Isa, the son of Maryam, said to the disciples, who will help me being on the side of Allah Azza wa Jal? The disciples said, we are the helpers of Allah's religion. Sayyidina Musa ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam was ordered to go to Fir'aun for preaching. He made the following entreaty to Allah Azza wa Jal, asking for the help of a human being and requested Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran, translation of Quran, Kanzul Iman, and appoint for me a minister from among my family. Who is he? Harun, my brother. Strengthen my back by him. Allah Azza wa Jal has stated in another place, translation of Quran, Kanzul Iman, Allah is his helper and Jibreel and the righteous believers and furthermore the angels who are appointed as helpers. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, did you see? The Holy Quran clearly announces that Allah Azza wa Jal is indeed the helper. But by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, Jibreel alayhi salam and the people that are close to Allah Azza wa Jal, that are the prophets and the saints rahimahumullah, and even the angels can help. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, by now this shaitanic whispering that no one can help except Allah Azza wa Jal should have been uprooted. An interesting fact is that the people who migrated to Madinatul Munawwara from Makkatul Mukarrama are called Muhajir, that is, the immigrant companions, and the believers who supported them are known as Ansar, that is, the helping companions. Every sane person knows that the literal meaning of Ansar is helpers. It is possible for Shaitan to make someone think that it is permissible to ask for help from someone alive, but not when he is passed away. If you carefully study the following verse and the preceding topic, inshallah Azza wa Jal, this evil thought will be uprooted. It is stated in the Holy Quran, translation of Quran, Kanzul Iman, and do not say about them who are slain in the path of Allah as dead. Rather, they are alive. Yes, you are unaware. If this is the attribute of the martyrs, then how can one cast a doubt about the fact that the prophets alayhimus salatu wassalam, who are much higher in status than the martyrs, are also alive? Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Dehelvi alayhi rahmatullah al-qawi has stated about the high status of Ghaus-e-Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi that he is Sayyidina Muhyiddin Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has the authority in his blessed grave like the living, that is, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has the authority just like the living people. Anyhow, the prophets alayhimus salatu wassalam and the saints rahimahumullah are alive, and we do not ask for help from the dead but from the ones who are alive, and we believe them to be helpers by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. Without the bestowal of Allah Azza wa Jal, the prophet or saint can neither give anything nor can they provide any sort of help. The imam of millions of followers of the Hanafi school of thought, Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, makes an entreaty for help in the court of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in Qasida Nu'man. Translation: O the one who is better than all humans and jinns, and who is the treasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, please give me from what Allah Azza wa Jal has bestowed upon you, and make me happy like Allah Azza wa Jal has pleased you. I am a candidate for your shower of generosity. There is no one for Abu Hanifa in the entire creation except you. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you use the Middle Channel in that package, we learned a little bit more about Sayyidina Ghawth-e-Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala. But before that package, we were actually talking about how Ghauta Pak, Rahmatullah Tarad, he would, you know, share his food. When he was gifted with that food that was bought by somebody else, but was actually paid for with his money that was actually his, he didn't get angry with him. That why did you wait and look for me, and you should have given the money to me, and how dare you eat this food, and how dare you buy such nice food with this money? He didn't say anything. He shared the food with him. He shared the food with him. And not only that, he gave him the leftover food as well, and he also gave him some money as well. And something that we need to learn as well, that, you know, when we are eating collectively, and sometimes, alhamdulillah, people eat collectively where they'll eat in one big bowl, or sometimes you'll be eating and there'll be a dish in the middle, and you're all taking your portions out of it. Then what happens is sometimes what we do is we quickly look at the trays around us and we think, okay, you know what, I'm going to take that tray first because that's got the best meat in it, and I'm going to grab these pieces of meat quickly, and then I'll go for that one if there's anything left. So we go for that and we grab all the pieces of meat. Maybe if there's, for example, there's a rice and meat there, we'll take all the meat but we'll leave the rice. And then we'll take all the fish and we'll take all this and we'll take all the best morsels for ourselves. And again, this is not the way of our pious predecessors. The pious predecessors would share the food with people. They would give the best morsels of food with people as well. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever gives other things, the things that he needs himself, he's forgiven by Allah azza wa jal. So what we do is we think, as long as I get the best food, I don't care. And we see at weddings where, unfortunately, what happens is people go there, they'll get all the best pieces of meat, they'll get the chicken, they'll take one bite off the leg of the chicken, yeah, and there's maybe some more meat left on it, but it takes time to eat, so they'll throw that away, wasted meat, wasted chicken, and they'll go for another one. Take one bite, throw that, one bite, throw that. Wasting food. And they'll fill up the food, and they don't care that other people might want this food as well. They don't care that other people are there as well. And when it comes to sharing out food, there may be a dish there, a meat dish there, and you'll take all the best pieces of meat and you leave the bones there for other people because you want the meat, as long as you're okay, rather than sharing it and giving to other people. Something that we need to develop within ourselves, that we need to, you know, control our nafs. Yes, we want to eat, but control your nafs as well. Sheikh Sayyidina Abu Sulaiman rahmatullah ta'ala mentioned in Fazani Sunnat, page 482, that leaving a desire of a nafs unfulfilled is more beneficial to the heart than even observing psalm during days and worshipping at night for 12 months. For 12 months, viewers and mother child, controlling your nafs, controlling your desires of your nafs is better for you than worshipping at night and fasting continuously for 12 months. If only we knew, if only understand, but we think, no, I want, I need, I have. Forget everybody else. I want that best piece of meat. I want that fish. I want this. I want that. And we don't worry about anybody else. We never think that maybe somebody else may be eating there. Maybe other people want it. No. As long as I'm okay. And we want more and more and more. And you see it, unfortunately, people at weddings, especially where people put so much food on the plate that there's no way they can eat it all. And then what happens is that food gets wasted. Because at the end, what happens, they can't eat it. And they're sitting there and the people come around with the black big bands and they put the food in there and all the food's wasted. People are just wasting food. Yes, I'm not saying don't eat. I'm not even saying don't eat to your fill, but don't waste your food. And at the same time, when you're eating food and you're eating a chicken or something like a leg and or meat that's on the bone, eat all of the meat on the bone. Clean the bone. Don't just take one bite and think to yourself, you know what, it's going to take me longer to clean the bone, I might as well just have another one. You've wasted all that as well. And this is a mindset that we need to develop, not wasting anything, not wasting food, not wasting water, not wasting electricity, not wasting anything. All of these are blessings from Allah Azza wa Jal. And if we look around those views on the channel, we realize how fortunate we are. That we have the food, we have the water, we have the electricity, we have all of these things. And only when you travel around the world, views on the channel, you find out that here in the West, we're lucky we've got lights in this room here, the studio lights are on. And I can't remember a time where the electricity went in this country. I remember as a small child, the electricity went a couple of times. Or even if the electricity ever did go, we were notified that they were doing some work and the electricity would go off. And it would go off for the least amount of time. If the water ever went off, we were notified, oh, we've got some maintenance work that we need to do. The water will go off for half an hour or an hour. But we have these blessings here, but we still waste them. We waste electricity, we leave lights on. We leave the water running. We waste food. All of these are blessings that people around the world would wish that they could have. There are places around the world where electricity is only coming once a day for 1 hour. Places around the world even now where they're struggling for gas. They have nothing to cook. And if they have something to cook, they've got nothing to cook it on because they've got no electricity and no gas there. So we are the lucky ones. We are fortunate ones. And we need to show Shukr in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal views him, inshallah. We need to be patient with whatever Allah Azza wa Jal has given us, but at the same time, whatever Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us with, we should not waste it. So yes, maybe if you think to yourself, okay, I'm not being tested. I'm not being tested in the same way that I have electricity all the time. I'm not being tested in the same way that I have water all the time. I'm not being tested in the same way that I have food all the time. But at the same time, if you're not being tested, like those other people around the world are being tested, then you are being tested. Yes, you are being tested. How are you being tested? By, are you showing shukr? Then people that don't have it are showing patience. Are you showing shukr? Are you being thankful that what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you? Or are you just wasting it? Taking advantage of it. Sheikh Abdul Abbas Khizr bin Abdullah Hussaini, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, said that one night we were present in the madrasa of Sayyidina Sheikh Muhyiddin Abdul Qadir Jilani, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, situated in Baghdad. A Khalifa once came to him and requested for some advice, and he presented him with 10 bags of wealth. Ghawse Pak, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, refused the gift. When the Khalifa begged and pleaded for the acceptance of the gift, Sayyidina Muhyiddin Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he took two of the bags. He held one in his right hand and the second in his left hand, and he squeezed them bags. When he squeezed them bags, blood started to ooze out of the bags. Out of these bags of gold, blood started to ooze. And he addressed the Khalifa, saying to them, do not you feel ashamed before Allah Azza wa Jal? You have brought to me the blood of innocent people. Listen to this, that Khalifa, he fell unconscious. Because that gold that he had, where was that gold coming from? It was coming from the innocent people. And so this was like, in the eyes of Ghawse Pak, it was like taking the blood of them people. And the miracle of Ghawse Pak, that when he squeezed it, that blood actually came out. To explain to them that this is the wealth of the people and you are wasting it. Dear Islamic brothers, we can see from this that the virtuous people of Allah Azza wa Jal, these pious people of Allah Azza wa Jal, they had no interest in worldly wealth. They had no interest in worldly possessions. And it's for this reason that Ghawse Pak Rahmatullah strongly refused to take the wealth of the Khalifa. And without considering his status and position, he gave him the Madani pearls. Remember, he was the Khalifa at the time. But where he was wrong, Ghawse Pak told him. And we see that, you know, this love for wealth, this love for the dunya, the love for money, the love for gold, and those people that stay away from it, how successful they are in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal. And as I was reading this parable today, a thought came to my mind that we see Amir al-Sunnat al-Madani channel. He doesn't have a bank statement. He doesn't have a bank balance. He doesn't even know how to write a checkbook. He doesn't have an ATM card. He doesn't have any of these things. He has no need for wealth. Allahu Akbar. And you see that the dunya is following him. You know, they say when you look at Amir al-Sunnat, it says to you that, you know, when people run towards the dunya, they never catch it. You know, there's a saying that, you know, I don't know if you ever saw this, but there was I remember when we were young, they used to draw a picture of a donkey, and they used to cut a stick on the head, and at the end of the stick there used to be a carrot. And the donkey used to try and go forward to get the carrot so it could eat the carrot. But as he's going forward, the carrot's going further and further away from him. And that is the dunya of Yuzam and Chal. You're running after the dunya, but the dunya is getting further and further away from you. But those people that run after the akhirat, the dunya runs after them. And we see people all around the world are lovers of Amir al-Sunnat at this moment. All people around the world are flocking or try their best. Whenever the opportunities arise, they come to Karachi in Pakistan. They come to the headquarters for Zainab Medina in Karachi in Pakistan to be able to see Amir al-Sunnat. Wealthy people, famous people, political people, they all come and sit in the court of Amir al-Sunnat. And if we look at the past of these pious predecessors, we see the same thing. And these people of the past, they had no love of the dunya. And we see that in Amir al-Sunnat. We see the people of the past that their main mission in life was to reform people. We see that in Amir al-Sunnat. And we are fortunate, viewers of Munshah, that we have Amir al-Sunnat with us. And I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again, that in future, when I am not here and you are not here, people were writing books about those fortunate people that were able to sit in the court of Amir al-Sunnat, sit and listen to the Madani Muzakras. We have the opportunity. We have the opportunity to be able to sit in that blessed court. And even nowadays, we have the opportunity to electronically sit in those courts by watching it on Madani Channel. So please, make it part of your daily routine to sit in the court of Amir al-Sunnat and watch the Madani Muzakras. Learn from these pious people. Learn from these pious people. We see that the scholars, no matter who you are, viewers of Madani Channel, a time will come when the angel of death will come and visit these people. And if we look around the world, many, many scholars, people pass away in the same way scholars pass away. So those scholars that we have to value them and learn from them and take benefit from them as well. And at the same time, we need to learn a lesson from the lives of these people, that they used to push away the dunya. They didn't run after the dunya. But if we look at our lives, viewers of the channel, our whole life here in the UK, our life is revolved around that pound sign. If you're watching in, you know, America, Canada now, or wherever you are, your life revolves around that dollar sign. You know, all the decisions that you make in life are dependent on where you can make more dollars or more pounds or more rands or more euros. And you'll work your life around that. If I do this, I'll make more money. If I do that, I'll make more money. If I invest here, I'll make more money. If I go there, I'll make more money. And all our decisions are made around that. Do we ever make decisions around, if I do this, I'll attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. If I do that, I'll be able to get more reward. If I do that, I'll be able to achieve this in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. If I do that, I'll be able to get my sins washed away. If I do this, I'll be able to do that. Do we ever make them decisions? Our whole lives at the moment, viewers of my channel, we may, and I've said it before, we may look like Muslims. We may eat like Muslims. We may dress like Muslims. But do we think like a Muslim should think? And a Muslim's mind should be that he is running not after the dunya, but he's running after the akhirat. How can I achieve the akhirat? How can I achieve the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla? That should be our basis. With regards to the dunya, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the world is accursed, and what it contains is accursed, except whatever is for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, love for the world is the fountainhead of all sins. In another hadith, and I'll give this final hadith before we go to the kalam of the day viewers on the channel, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that that person is very surprising who witnesses the eternal abode, i.e. the afterlife, but is making efforts for this deceptive abode, i.e. this dunya. That person who is aware of the afterlife, that person is aware of accountability, that person is aware of paradise, that person is aware of the hellfire, yet he's making all of his plans for this temporary world. And how confusing, how surprising that person is who lives his life like that. Viewers on the channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And we're just going to take a small break now for the kalam of the day. And inshallah, azza wa jal, when we come back, we're going to continue with the topic of the day. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Agar tum na sunoge to meri kaun sunega agar tum na karoge to karam kaun karega ya rasool allah khada dar pe sarapa iltija hoon ya rasool allah ghulam kam tari adna gada hoon ya rasool allah khada dar par sarapa iltija رسول اللہ غلام کم تری ادنا گدا ہوں یا رسول اللہ
سہارا دیجئے بے دست و پا ہوں یا رسول اللہ سہارا کرم فرمائیے بے آسرا ہوں یا رسول اللہ
کھڑا در پر سراپا التجا ہوں یا رسول اللہ غلام کم تری ادنا گدا ہوں یا رسول اللہ
میرا حال زبون محتاج ہے چشم عنایت کا چشمِ عنایت کا پریشان ہوں گرفتار بلا ہوں یا رسول اللہ
کھڑا در پر سرا
رسول اللہ
کھڑا در پر سرا پا التجا ہوں یا رسول اللہ غلام کمتری ادنا گدا ہوں یا رسول اللہ
بھکاری رسول اللہ
کھڑا در پر سرا پا التجا ہوں یا رسول اللہ غلام کمتری ادنا گدا ہوں یا رسول اللہ
مساجد ساجد میں بن جاؤں میں ساجد نام کا ہوں کام کا ساجد میں بن جاؤں تہی دامن لیے کب سے کھڑا ہوں یا رسول اللہ
کھڑا در پر سرا پا التجا ہوں یا رسول اللہ غلام کمتری ادنا گدا ہوں یا رسول اللہ
Viewers of the channel, before the break, we were talking about Ghawth-e Paak, how he didn't love this dunya, he shunned this dunya. And we see how the pious people of the past, they shunned this dunya. And if you think about it, you know, look around you, viewers of the channel, no matter how rich you are, no matter how wealthy you are, no matter what your status is, no matter how big a mansion you've got, no matter where you are living, the angel of death will eventually come to you. You know, you may be whatever age you are, whatever status you are, whatever wealth you've got, whatever position you've got, the angel of death will come to you. It'll come to you. That's the, you know, if you have no facts in your life, I do not know, I mean, it's here in the UK on my phone, it's 9:47. I don't know what time I'm going to get home tonight. I'm not even sure what I'm going to eat tonight. I don't know what time I'm going to get up in the morning. Or even if I am going to get up in the morning, I don't know these things. But one thing I do know is that I'm going to die one day and you're going to die one day, no matter what your status is. And so as Muslims, we need to be aware of that fact, that that time of death is approaching. When? We don't know. And because we don't know, we need to be all the time prepared for this. Every namaz, Ghauth-e Pak said that you should read every namaz as if is it your last namaz. Every day, live your life as if it's going to be your last day. Because you know what? One day you're going to be right. One day will be your last day. One day will be your last namaz. And if read every namaz in that mindset that that day will come, then inshallah you're preparing yourself for that day. But we also see viewers of the channel from Ghauth-e Pak's life that he also not only had this sharing with people, he also had the shukr, but he also had a lot of patience within the will of Allah. It stated that whenever a child was born in my house, he said, that when a child was born in my house, I would take him on my hand and say, this is the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whatever will Allah wills with this child, I am pleased with the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. And in past times, a lot of people, there was a lot of children that used to die at young ages. And he said that when any child of mine died, his death would not have any effect on me. Because he would say that this is the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is stated that even to the extent that when some of his children passed away, and he was made aware of this, they would prepare the funeral, they would wash the body, they would shroud the body, and then they would bring the body to the madrasa, and then he would perform the namaz janazah, and he would continue with his work for the deen, because whatever happened, he would accept it as being the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he would have patience with this. And now it is again, we see in households, viewers of Madrasa, that when a calamity befalls them, then astaghfirullah, we even see people speaking words of kufr, when a calamity befalls them. That why has this happened to me? Why has it happened to me? Why has it not happened to him? He's got this, it should have happened to him. He's got that, it shouldn't have happened to him. And you need to be very careful at that time, viewers of Manchal. That is a time of test for you, a time for you to show patience. And we see from the life of Ghauth-e Pak that when a child was born, even at that time he said, whatever Allah Azza wa Jal wills with that child, I will accept it. And whenever a child died, again he remembered that whatever will Allah wills, he accepted this. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, viewers of Manchal, and indeed, we shall give those who have patience such a reward which befits the best of their deeds. Allahu Akbar. In another ayat of the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal says, those who have patience will be paid the full reward uncounted. Allahu Akbar. So these are the attributes of these people of the past, viewers of Manchal. And along with having patience and thankfulness, Ghauth-e Pak rahmatullah ta'ala also, it would also help the poor as well. And he would help the destitute as well. He always helped the needy, even by donating his own clothes or his own food. He would always help those people as well. Sheikh Abdullah Jabai once said that once Sayyidina Ghauth-e Pak rahmatullah ta'ala said to me, feeding the poor and treating people with good manners are excellent and perfect deeds. He further stated, I do not save any money. If I have 1,000 dinars in the morning, I have no dinar in the evening because I would distribute them among the needy and the poor, and I would feed the hungry. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Do we do this, viewers of my channel? Do we spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Do we feed the poor and the needy? Yeah. Do we even take that opportunity? I remember seeing recently that Soapman had opened up a new restaurant. And what they did is when they had the opening ceremony for the new restaurant, instead of inviting the influential people, inviting the businessmen of the town, what they did is they invited all the poor children of the town, children that are picking up the rubbish in the street, the beggars in the street, and invited them to the opening. And they had the opening meal. And I thought, what a good thing that was, feeding the poor. You're feeding rich people, they eat anyway. They don't need your food. Yeah? But the poor people, feeding them is such a great blessing. It is stated that the blessed son of Sayyidina Ghauth-e Pak once stated that after my blessed father became famous, he performed only one Hajj. And during the Hajj pilgrimage, we reached a city in the south of Baghdad. He ordered us to look for the poorest family of the city. Listen to this, viewers of Madrasa. He ordered us to look for the poorest family of the city. Hence, we went to a deserted area and there we set up a camp. With the permission of the owner of the camp, Sayyidina Ghauth-e Azam spent the night there. An elderly man, woman and a girl lived in that camp. He said that Mashaikh, many rich and affluent people invited him to stay at their home. But Ghauth-e Pak rahmatullah ta'ala did not accept any of the invitations. The mayor of the city also sent many cows, goats, foods, animals, gold and silver to Sayyidina Ghauth-e Pak rahmatullah ta'ala because he was so happy that he'd come. But he, Ghauth-e Pak rahmatullah ta'ala, he gave everything to the poor family and left the area in the morning. Sheikh Abdul Razak Qadri rahmatullah ta'ala said that many years later, I happened to pass by the same city and I saw that the elderly man has become the richest person. And he said to me, all of this is the blessing of that night. These cows and goats give birth to young ones which have all grown up. And all of this is a blessing of that. Allahu Akbar. You know, when we get wealth, what do? With it? We're just so happy that we've got it. We're so happy that we've made £100, £1,000, £5,000. We're so happy that we've got all this money and wealth. Do we ever think to ourselves that, look, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given me this. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given me. Yes, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you your wealth. Whatever you have, these clothes that I have, this PC tablet that I have, the phone that I have, this earpiece that I got, whatever I have got, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given it me. Yes. You may say, well, I work hard for my money. Yes, you do work hard. But who give you the strength to work? Who give you the intellect to think? Who give you the ability? Who give you the resources? And when you go around the world and you see the poor, think to yourself, what is the difference between that person and me? Just your destiny, viewers of my channel. Just where Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with. Blessed you with your destiny. Whatever you have, it is a blessing. If you have money in your pocket now, it is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. If you have food in your cupboards now, it is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And we should be thankful. But at the same time, whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us, do we give any of that back and spend it in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Do we give it to the poor and needy? Do we spend it in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Do we put in that bank account, the bank account of the afterlife, in which without doubt the bank will never get robbed? You know, we hear around the world that with the economic crisis, these banks are going bankrupt. That bank account, viewers on the channel, will never go bankrupt. When you put money in that bank account, when you put money in the bank account of Allah Azza wa Jalla for the afterlife, and you spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that will be waiting for you. That reward will be waiting for you. So again, spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It is stated that Sayyidina Ghawth Azam Rahmatullah Ta'ala once saw a sad person and asked him, what is the matter with you? He said, oh, Honorable Sheikh, I want to cross the river Tigris, but the sailor did not let me get on the boat without the fare, and I have nothing. Shortly afterwards, a devotee of Sayyidina Ghawth Azam gave him 30 dinars, i.e. 30 coins of gold. And Sayyidina Ghawth Azam Rahmatullah gave these dinars to the person and said, give it these dinars to the sailor and tell him not to prevent any poor person from crossing the river in the future. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. What a great blessing this is, viewers of my channel. And I remember someone told me an event that took place that they'd gone on the Hajj. Three people had traveled on the Hajj. And when they traveled on the Hajj, they traveled there by different means. They didn't travel as we traditionally do by planes. They traveled by road and they earned money on the way there. And so they literally earned money, traveled, earned money, traveled, earned money, traveled. And when they performed the rites of the Hajj, and the time came to have the head shaved, he wrote this down, and I remember reading it. He said that we were waiting in the queue. There was a couple of people in front of us. And we thought to ourselves that, you know, how much is it going to cost to have the haircut? And he said, we had six reals with us. So the person in front of us, two people in front of us, he asked him, how much is this going to cost? Yeah. We thought it, but he actually asked it. And the barber did this. Yeah. So we thought, that means two. We've got six, there's three of us. No problem. So we thought, that's okay, we'll get our hair shaved as well. But we saw that when that person got his hair cut, it wasn't two, it was 20. So we're thinking to ourselves, what is going to happen now? How are we going to fulfill this, right? How are we going to get our head cut or shaved? And he said, we were just thinking about this. And the person in front of us, when he got his head cut, we'd not said anything. We'd only looked at each other and our eyes were talking to each other. We never said anything. We never said anything, how are we going to afford this? We never said anything. But the person in front of me, he gave 80 reals to the person, to the barber, and said, 20 for me and 20 for each for the three people behind me. I want to be pay for their haircut as well. Allahu Akbar. Allah provided. Allah provided these means, viewers of the channel. And we can see from that event and also the events of Ghawth Park that Ghawth Park cared and sympathized with the poor and the needy. Following in the footsteps, viewers of the channel, of Ghawth Park, we should also take care of the poor and needy. If you ever find a Muslim in trouble and you have the ability to remove it, console that sad person, feed the hungry and help that person. And without doubt, viewers of Money Channel, we may be here in the West. You may be watching me in UK. Yes, you may be struggling with the money that you're making. Yes, you may not having the income that you've got. But believe me, viewers of Money Channel, that the majority of them, I cannot say all of us because I did not know the situation of everybody, but the majority was are a lot better off than people that maybe we know around the world, in the Indian subcontinent, in Africa, in these places where people are struggling and striving. We need to be able to help them if we can. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam said to feed food to a hungry person is one of the means of forgiveness. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. If you want your sins forgiven, and who doesn't want their sins forgiven? Who hasn't got a whole burden of sins on their shoulders to carry views of Majhul? And if you want to have them sins forgiven, then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to feed food to a hungry person, not to a person that doesn't need it anyway, a hungry person. To feed food to a hungry person is one of the means of forgiveness. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, or feeding on the day of hunger, Allahu Akbar. In paradise there is a palace whose interior is visible from its exterior, whose exterior is visible from the interior. This is for the person who feeds the poor and the needy. It is also stated, viewers on the channel, that if a person feeds his Muslim brother until he is full and gives water until he is full, Allah Azza wa Jal will move the feeding person as far away from the hellfire as the distance of 7 ditches. And the distance between 2 ditches is 500 years. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. That is the distance that you will be removed from the hellfire, viewers on the channel. So viewers on the channel, if we come toward the end of this program now, and if we learn from the lives of our pious predecessors, and in these recent programs we'll be talking about Ghawth Bakr Rahmatullah, we learn about his patience, we learn about his helping his fellow Muslim brothers, we learn about his character, we learn about his knowledge that he acquired, we learn about the sacrifices that he made to acquire that knowledge, we learn about his character that throughout his life he said that I never ever told a lie. There is so much that we can take from their lives. But when we take these stories from their lives, don't just take them as stories. Make a change in your life. Try and follow the footsteps of these pious predecessors. Without doubt, viewers and mentors, we can never get to the ranks of these people. I know this. But at least we can try and follow in those footsteps. At least we can try and follow the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. At least a minimum that we should be doing is we should be reading our namaz 5 times a day. We should be fasting in the month of Ramadan. We should be going on the Hajj of it as far as upon us. Then, at the same time, refraining from those sins, like the lying, the cheating, the swearing, the backbiting. Having this inside us, this shukr inside us, being patient in the face of calamities. This is what we learn from our past views on the channel. And if we learn from our past, then we'll make a change. And I remember that someone, you know, we have these social media groups. And someone, he was saying that he was going to be turning 45 next week. And someone that said to him, oh, I'm literally 20 years younger than you. Can you give me some advice? Yeah, you're 20 years older than me. Give me some advice. And he put in the group, he said, I give you this advice. Fear Allah Azza wa Jal and have patience. Allahu Akbar. Fear Allah Azza wa Jal and have patience. And again, that is something that we need to learn, viewers of Madani Channel. So I request all of the viewers of Madani Channel, keep on watching Madani Channel, but learn from Madani Channel and make a change inside you as well. So until the next time, viewers of Madani Channel, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah.